Welcome into Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. Excited to have our new look show. Ooh, it feels so fancy, like, yeah, right? And as always, we're going to be taking your questions. Now we are taking them on Facebook, so make sure you head over to the Buccaneers Facebook page. Find our live video streaming there, and that's where you can leave comments, questions, all of that. And I'll be following those as best as I can while we talk about some things. As I let people get their questions in, we have a little bit of news this last week. Had a couple signings. Yep, so take us – it's an interesting situation. So take us through – first of all, we'll start with Jameis Winston.
Well, okay, we're going in reverse chronological order then.
Yes. Yes.
These were both things that we're going to talk about now that were expected to happen, but they still need to get done. Jameis Winston, the Buccaneers picked up the fifth-year option since the new 2011 CBA. Are there two Caseys in here?
I know there are. My live video just started playing out loud.
Since the 2011 new CBA, every draft pick gets a four-year contract, but the first round picks, the team has an option for a fifth year. And if it's if you're picked between 1 and 10, then there's a different salary requirement for that than between 11 and 32. And Jameis, of course, was a first overall pick. So the Buccaneers, obviously, when you draft a guy, you're hoping you're going to be using that fifth-year option. And you know, the first chance the Bucs had to do it was Adrian Claiborne, and, you know, he'd been hurt for two of his 4 years, and so they didn't pick that one up. By the next two were Mark Barron and Doug Martin, and Mark Barron had been traded, and Doug Martin, you know, kind of memorably, we didn't pick that up, but then he had a great year, and so they signed him anyway. And then Darrell Revis, we had traded for him, so we didn't have a pick that year. But since, it's been Mike Evans, who got his fifth-year option picked up last year, and then now Jameis Winston. And the thing, too, I mean, it's a very direct parallel between those two. You have to pick up that option between their third and fourth year, and the deadline this year is May 3rd. So it was coming up pretty close. So you have to do it now. And with Mike Evans, we did it last year, but before he even played that fifth year, I mean, just now, before he played the fifth year, he got a new contract in March, a big new contract. So it's probably pretty instructive of what people expect to happen with Jameis Winston, too. About this time next year, or maybe in March, we may be having news of a long-term contract. Because you might as well, because that salary he's going to make for that fifth year, you know, rookie quarterbacks, compared to all other quarterbacks, are extremely affordable in their first 4 years. But that fifth year, if you get that option, it's basically the same as getting as what a transition tag gives a guy. It's the average of the top 10 salaries at his position the previous year. So it's going to be like $20 million. So it's still not top 10 quarterback money, but it's getting up there. So if you're going to pay them that anyway, just like with Mike Evans, you probably just want to go ahead and figure out how to do a long-term deal.
Right.
So you're not playing that fifth year as a lame duck with an opportunity to either hit free agency or use the dreaded franchise tag. So, you know, there's no guarantee it'll be done, but assuming he continues his progress like he has the first 3 years and the Buccaneers intend to stay committed to him long term, which I believe is what's going to happen, then this time next year he may have a long term deal.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. And then how about Adam Humphries?
Adam Humphries was another one that was expected to happen. He was a restricted free agent. He got the tender offer right before free agency to make him a restricted free agent. And when that happens with a guy, restricted free agents can sign with other teams, but it's pretty rare because in most cases the team that he departed from needs draft pick compensation from the team that signs him. And in the case of Adam, with the tender that they gave him one of the higher tenders, so a team that signed him away would have had to give up a second-round draft pick. And not that Adam isn't worth a second-round draft pick, but you don't see those guys move very often. So it was not surprising when he signed it. The deadline was this Friday. The only reason he didn't do it till now is because he hasn't been around. That's what happens all the time with these restricted free agents. Monday was the first day of the program, the offseason program, so he happened to be in the building, so he just signed it that day. But everybody knew he was going to. And it's good news. It's great news. So since March, the Buccaneers have gotten under contract or extended contracts for Mike Evans, Cam Brate, and Adam Humphries, and despite some speculation, not from inside the building but outside, that with DeSean Jackson's first season not being what everybody had hoped for, not really his fault, but it wasn't, that would he be around for the second year in his contract? I don't think there was ever any question internally that he would. But Sonia, you see, you've got all those guys still under contract. You have everybody you had last year, and then you got Chris Godwin, who fought through some injuries last year and really finished the season very strong. So, I mean, you are really pretty set with weapons in the passing game. I think that's one area where the Bucs can feel really good. That doesn't mean they might not pick up a wide receiver at some point in the draft, but it's certainly not something you would expect them to focus on in the first couple rounds.
Yeah, that's a great point. All right, let's dive into some of these questions
here. I think this
here.
Has worked well the last couple weeks, this new
with Facebook. With the Facebook and everything. People are very excited about the draft, which also helps.
Really?
Yeah, I know, right?
When is it? Is it coming up?
Yeah, I don't think it's anytime soon. It's not a big deal. Tyson says, who would you rather pick between Derwin James and Minka Fitzpatrick?
Boy, that's a tough one. I mean, I guess You know, I like the fact that if he's as good as everybody says he is at this, that Derwin James gives you that sort of pass rushing capability mm-hmm. as well. I think it depends on how, you know, do the Buccaneers have a specific role in mind for either of these guys? You know, Minkah Fitzpatrick is obviously one of the best prospects in the draft, but you find me somebody who's nailed down exactly where he's going to play in the NFL. I mean, is he a slot corner? Is he a safety? Is he both? Would the Buccaneers want a hybrid type role like that? You know, same thing really with Derwin James. What exactly is he? Now, both these guys have the possibility of becoming a really versatile impact guy like Tyrann Mathieu, but I'd like to know specifically how the Bucs would envision using these two guys before I'd answer. Just on sheer talent alone, I guess Derwin James is considered a Jalen Ramsey type.
Right.
And if you could get a Jalen Ramsey on your team, you would want it. So I'd probably go with James. But to be honest with you, I wouldn't really want to make that choice unless I was as informed as they are upstairs with the GMs, with the GM and the scouts and the coaches. As they've watched film on these guys, I'm sure they have an idea if they're going to draft Minkah Fitzpatrick or Derwin James exactly the type of role that would fit in our defense. And I can't claim that I actually know that.
That's very fair. We had a question from Anthony, and he – or I'm sorry, which one is this?
Oh, they keep going so fast.
I love it. So Tom said, do we get the fifth year at a cheaper price on Jameis since it's before his fourth season? Is there any – basically he's asking, is there any monetary benefit?
In fact, you have to do it now. That's the way the rules work. You have to decide before the fourth season if you're picking up the fifth season option. And it is only guaranteed – for injury. So if Jameis were to get hurt and couldn't play in all or part of 2018, the Bucs would still have to pay him. Now, and I shouldn't use Jameis as an option as the example
mm-hmm.
here, because I'm not thinking any of this stuff is going to happen. But if the Buccaneers decided before the fifth year that they wanted to go another way, you can still cut that player. And it's not guaranteed yet.
Right.
So, but you know, obviously the Buccaneers intend to either pay him that salary or have another long-term deal in place. But, no, it's a formula thing. So, I mean, I guess you could say maybe it's a teeny bit cheaper because they would be basing that fifth-year salary. And, you know, that's a little tidbit of that I don't know. Do they base that salary because it's based on the top 10
on
average
of
them? Do they base it on this year or next year? Probably they wait and base it on in 2019, you're looking back at the 2018.
Yeah, that's
salary.
An interesting point.
So, no, I don't think it saves you any money at all. It's just a formula.
Okay.
There's not much you can do about it.
Chad wanted to know, should the Bucs take the best available at 7 and trade up back into the first for Geis, assuming Barkley is gone at 7?
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. I've conjectured that, too. We've discussed that possibility. One thing I like about that, and it's exactly what the Buccaneers did in 2012 when they took Doug Martin.
Mm-hmm.
They were just about the same spot in the draft, traded up to pick 31, I believe, under the belief, it's the storyline has been, although no GMs ever actually tell this, that they were worried that the Giants were going to take him at the 32nd pick, and they did take a running back with the next pick. The nice thing about trading up from the top of the second to the bottom of the first is what we were just talking about, that fifth-year option. You don't get that. Pick 32, you have that. Pick 33, you don't. So the problem, of course, is the cost. We don't have a third-round pick. I got to believe to get from 38 to, say, 31 or 30, it's going to cost you your fourth-round pick, I think, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if the Bucs would want to do that when you already don't have a third-round pick. So
right.
You go 1-2 and then not picking again until the fifth round. I mean, I suppose it's possible. You got 2 6-round picks. If you could make a small move and somebody's willing to do it for a 6-round pick, sure, but I don't think that's going to materialize.
Okay, that's true.
And then there's other guys. I like Geis, of course. We all do.
Yeah.
And maybe he's probably considered the second best back, but there are a lot of good running backs, and there will be somebody there at 38 if the Bucs want to go that route.
Yeah, that's very true. And we forget, you know, how many times we've found guys in later rounds that it's not only about that number 7
especially with the running backs.
Pick, yeah.
Yeah.
Brandon said, how long is Dotson going to be out?
Well, he just had this procedure, so I'd imagine, you know, you do a prognosis, right? You estimate based on how long a certain injury has kept players out in the past. And I'm hearing he's going to miss the off-season program but be ready for training camp. And since the off-season program ends right around the middle of June, that could mean that he's fine by in late June or early July. Just the important part is he'll be back in time for training camp. The way things are going now, of course, you can never be sure about these things.
Mm-hmm.
We've had players in the past where we thought, like Jackie Smith, sure seemed like the storyline that whole offseason was he was going to be ready for training camp, but then he wasn't. He had a setback right before training camp and just really kind of never totally recovered from that.
Right.
So, you know, we obviously everybody expects DeMar to be fine. You know, it's a procedure. It's really a meniscus procedure isn't the biggest deal in the world.
Right, that's true. And thankfully he's the kind of guy that's been around long enough that you're not worried about him falling behind in terms of knowing
True.
What's going on
well,
with the team.
Yeah, and two things. He's overcome injuries before mm-hmm. and come back to play at a high level. And because, you know, you think that Dotson's one of the elder statesmen on this team. He's probably 32 or 33, something like that, which for this team is pretty old.
Right, yeah.
I wish I was 33, but for this team, it's pretty old. And he's up there in years, but because he spent like a whole first season on practice squad and kind of didn't get a starting role for about 3 years into his career, it's a little less wear on the tires than some guys at his age.
Yep, that's true. George wants to know if we will both be at the draft in Dallas.
I won't. Will you?
Nope. We will. Oh, both.
Well, tell them where you're going to be.
Yeah, so I'm going to be at the draft party,
which you should
all
be.
Come to. It's going to be awesome. I mean, you get to watch the draft on an NFL field. I feel like that's the coolest
cool.
thing as a fan. There's going to be players hanging out. There's going to be games to play.
Right, I heard about that.
There's going to be a lot of stuff going on that's going to be very fun besides just the excitement
I
of the draft itself.
I heard there's going to be like a draft bingo type of thing.
Yeah, it's like going to be really cool.
If you see if one of the announcers says like
versatile yeah.
or length or you know all the buzzwords that they use. Bingo.
Yep.
And you win prizes up to and including tickets.
Which is going to be awesome. So that's where everybody should be. That's where I'll be. And then we'll both be over here
I'll
as
here.
Well.
Yeah.
I'll be running back and forth multiple times.
I'm just
to get
chill out.
You're going to hang out here. And you'll be chatting with Jason Light before the pick,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, you think for somebody to cover a draft, you'd think, oh, they go to Dallas.
They go to the draft.
But that's not really where it happens. The action actually happens in the 32 headquarters where all the GMs are sitting in their draft rooms.
Yeah.
It's kind of the draft experience wherever it is, Dallas in this case, is cool. And you have generally have two employees sitting at your table. They could be for a long time. It was one of our video guys, Dave mm-hmm. Levy. And they just have the headset on with the open phone line to our draft room for the entire draft. And they're the ones who get to fill out the card. I would like
that
at some point.
I would be so stressed.
Yeah.
I feel like I would just be petrified
well,
that I would. Yeah. And
it's happened.
A history of that.
Yes.
So that's why I'm like, no, thank you. I'm okay being at the draft party.
I think you're probably fine because the reason it happened, this was way back in like 1982. To the Buccaneers was phone system problems.
Just a little bit different now.
You know, the old ones is
just be like, hey,
phone.
Just text me. It's fine.
Yeah, right. Let's make sure we got this right.
Yes. So that's where we will be, and I hope
it's
to see
kinda like, you know,
all
it's
of you
kind of
well.
Like being a delegate in the Electoral College. You know, your state votes, right? And then you're supposed to cast the vote based on what the vote was in your state, but you actually technically don't have to. The people in the Electoral College can vote.
There you go.
Vote however they want. So,
that
guy sitting up there,
in theory, could just
could draft
write
his own
else.
Guy. Of course, it would be the last thing he ever did.
I'll just draft myself,
an NFL employee.
And then they're forced to do that.
I don't think
draft
you're
me.
Draft eligible.
That's a good point. I don't know. That's yeah.
But
I don't know.
Just that would be fun if some, that'd be funny if
that
somebody
would be a
did
fun
that
job.
Once. I
that
mean, if they were planning on retiring the next day, like
that's
it. I don't
that's
want
it.
This
I'm
guy
done. Yeah,
I'm picking this guy.
That's great. I love that. Brandon also wanted to know if Nelson, Barkley, and Chubb are gone.
Ooh.
Right. We don't like that scenario. Who do you think is best for our need? And he mentioned Ward, James,
yeah.
or Minka.
I'm going to have to go with Ward simply because, I mean, if we trust all the scouts and the information out there and we say he's the number one ranked quarterback, he's the best quarterback cornerback prospect, I just like the fact that I know he's a cornerback who can play one of the outside cornerback spots for us since it looks like Vernon Hargraves is going to play the slot. I want a guy that I know can do that. And as awesome as Minka Fitzpatrick and Derwin James apparently are, as athletic and all, I still, you can't, in their scouting reports, you never see it nailed down that this is exactly what he's going to be. And, you know, if our guys upstairs know that either one of those guys can play corner and be awesome at it, or they think it would be great to add a safety, then fine. I'll take their word for it. But if you're just asking me, I like the fact that I know Ward's a cornerback, and that's really a position of need.
Right.
Have I ever said that before?
No, you've never mentioned a love of corners at all.
One of these years would be nice to be sitting there going, I don't think we need any cornerbacks.
I know, right? Yeah. I don't know if anyone's ever said that.
Yeah, we certainly have.
Cedric wants to know, how has Noah Spence looked since coming back? And it looks like he may have put in a lot of muscle is
yeah,
what Cedric
yeah.
said.
That's all you can really tell right now because mm-hmm. they're just running around. But he was working hard on getting coming back from his injury, and yes, he's in even better shape than he already was. I think he's bigger, more muscular, so I don't see how that can be a bad thing. I mean,
yep.
he's not so much bigger that he's going to lose his speed. I'm sure there's a balance there.
Right.
So just from a simply eyeballing standpoint, he looks great.
Right, yeah.
I don't know how he looks as a player yet because I haven't done that.
I'm choosing to go a little long on this
okay.
because I think that this is a great question.
Alrighty.
So Caleb wanted to know, the big three are all available at 7.
All of them?
What's the pick?
Well, you got to go Barkley.
Yep.
I might have said Chubb a couple months ago because I felt like edge rush was probably our number one thing.
Right.
And believe me, it would be fine with me if we got Bradley Chubb even after getting JPP and Vinnie Curry. You can't have enough of those either, right? And
right.
You'd like to have a guy that you can develop.
Right.
But since we do have that, I think the big and I'd love to draft Quentin Nelson. I think you put him in there with Ryan Jensen and Ali Marpet, you might have one of the most dominant interior lines in the league if he's as good as everybody says. But when you're talking about a top prospect at a position the Bucs absolutely need, it's got to be Barkley.
Yep, that's a great point. All right, that's all the time we're going to have here for Buccaneers Insider Live. And the great news is we've only got one more of these before it's an actual draft.
Can't wait.
We talked about all the hypotheticals, all the possibilities. We're going to have one more week of it, so think about all those last draft questions that you'll have for us next
best
week.
Best night of the year other than the games.
That's true. That's going to be so much fun. So thanks, as always, for joining in with the conversation with us, and we'll see you next time here on Buccaneers Insider Live.